Brother Jared, Sister Rose has a special request for Ed Hall, who had a heart attack. I don't know if he's saved or not. Would you pray for us, for Sunday school, and Ed Hall, please? Amen. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge in January. Okay, let's review a little bit. Open your collection of... Oh, I was scared of this. What's the next word? How about reliable?
Yeah, reliable.
Reliable. I had to look it up. Rest of mind. If it's reliable, I can rest my mind, right, my heart, my soul in it. Full belief in the veracity or the integrity of a certain fact, you know, like that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, like a one Bible that we can trust that God wrote, reliable, talking about trusting, something that I can put my confidence in. We're talking about a collection of reliable historical documents, a collection of documents, 66 documents. It's what it is, a collection. And they're not just documents, they're reliable documents.
Right.
Reliable documents. And then dependence. Well, you can depend on them. You can count on them. You can rely on them. Reliable documents, not just regular old documents. Promises of God. Perfect reliance on the promises of God. So we'll try it again. Open your collection of reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from
man.
Hallelujah. Y'all doing great. We'll try it again a little later. What chapter are we in?
15.
15? What book? How about 16? We skipped on over there a little bit. 16 would be right. And last week, we're in St. John chapter 16 and verses 8 through 11. We'll read those for review. And they tell about the Holy Spirit in the world, His job in the world, 8 through 11. And when He, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Big C Comforter, because that's God that moved inside you, when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, today we'd like to start in verse 12. And 12 through 15 is the work of the Holy Spirit for believers. He's working for us. He's on our side. We're going to an expected end. We can expect what's at the end of the road. We know where we're headed. And we're going to an expected end. Verse 12. And I have yet many things to say unto you. This is John talking, or the Lord, but ye cannot bear them now. Well, when's He going to tell us? And where's He going to tell us? Anybody know? How about in the epistles? They're yet to come. See if that makes any sense to you. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. They're going to come forth in the epistles.
Right.
The epistles is for the church. That's from Romans to Revelation. Revelation is prophecy, but it's also a letter. Also a letter. In the epistles, He's going to reveal... Here the Holy Spirit is. He's the only teacher. If you learn something this morning, it won't be from Brother Rick. It'll be from the Lord. And we're not to change one word. Not one word. Now, verse 13 and 14 shows us some steps here how the Holy Spirit will never glorify Himself. He's going to lift up. He's going to talk about and exalt Christ,
right,
not self. He's going to lift up Christ, talk about Christ, exalt Christ. And see if you can see these seven steps with me in verses 13 and 14. You remember I'm quick at math, so let's see if I get these seven right. Here we go. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. We could spend a week on that, or if you want a lesson. For He shall not speak of Himself. That's truth. And whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it to you. That's the Holy Spirit's job for the believers. Again, He's for us.
Right.
He's on our side. I don't understand. It's no miracle that I would love Him. The miracle is that He loves us, that He loves me. How could He do that? I really don't know how or why. It's just Him. God is love. Verse 15 now. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Wonder when and where He's going to show it. I think we're right back to the epistles. Romans to Revelation. I think He's getting ready to reveal Himself and what He wants us to know. There's some things I might not need to know. In the epistles, He's going to remind us. He's going to reprove us. And He's going to reveal, especially in Revelation. Actually, the whole book, He's revealing Himself to us. Every page, really, the Lord is revealing Himself to us. Then starting in verse 16 now, the rest of the chapter is the death, burial, and resurrection, and the second coming that Brother Clark was talking about. Hey, He's still coming. He's still coming back. He's on the way. It's just about time. It's just about time. Verse 16 to 18 here, He's talking about asking for wisdom. Verse 16, and a little while, and ye shall not see Me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see Me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of His disciples among themselves, what is this that He saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see Me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see Me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that He saith, a little while? We cannot tell what He saith. Well, I need to ask for wisdom. I don't need to wish for it. I can ask for it. We got some Bible verses for this. Let's go to James 1, see if we learn anything. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, well, I could hold up both hands right there. Let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James is big on wisdom. Chapter 4, starting verse 1. From whence cometh them wars? From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. I might go around and ask each one of you, but sometimes I ask Him last. What about this? What about that? What about asking Him? Then, here I go again. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. My selfishness is many times why I ask. Psalm 119. Verse 18 and 19. I need to ask the Lord, not wish for this, but I can. He invites me to come in and ask for wisdom. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, like a little while. Don't hide it from me. I need help. I need wisdom. Could you please show me? And the Lord will show us. Job 34. 32. That which I see not, teach thou me. Lord, I need help. Would you please show me this? If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. If you'll show me, Lord, if you'll show me. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God is what Brother Clark was talking about. Cleaning up our mind. Let's go back to John 17 now, or 16. We're on verse 19 and 20. Now Jesus knew. Boy, isn't that good?
Yeah.
It's a comfort.
Yeah.
It's a comfort to know that He knows.
Yeah.
It could be a real blessing. Now it might not be, depending on what I've been doing. It might not be a comfort. It might be scary. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him. And He said to them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. See, He doesn't only know what I'm thinking, He knows what the world's thinking, that they're getting ready to rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. 2 Corinthians. We're talking about omniscience here. All knowing. He knows everything. And not a smart aleck with it. No, not like me. No, He knows everything.
Right, yeah.
He knows everything. 2 Corinthians 4. 17 and 18. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the Lord will show it to us. He's showing us here we're going to suffer for a little while. For a little while, and then it's going to be like a baby being born. Then it's going to be over, and the mom's going to rejoice then. She'll forget about it. John 16:21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. This is the seventh time, I think, in this book that we've seen that His hour is coming. For her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered. As soon as it's over with, as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. A little weeping for a little while in her sorrow. Romans 8. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. It's just a little while, and that's where we'll be in the glory. Glory is the name of it. Capital G, glory, is the place where we're going. We're just here for a little while. 22, John 16, 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again. He's still coming, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Yeah. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Looks like He's interested in my joy. I don't understand that. I don't know why. It must be why He takes care of my problems, forever protecting me from myself. They believed on the Messiah. They believed not the one mediator. They had trouble with that. And then joy depends, I made a mistake on your paper here, not on earnest prayer, but on praying those prayers to the Father. It's not my prayer. It's not how earnest it is. It's not how hard. It's who I'm praying to. The object of my faith. That would be the Father. That would be praying to the Father. He promises He's coming back. And He's still coming. He's still coming. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. We just saw some of this back in John 15:7. If ye abide in me, live in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The key is me wanting what He wants. What He wants. Chapter 16:26-27. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. See, the Son's Father loves the Son's followers. The Son's followers love the Son's Father. It's a package deal. It's one family. A little wait. It's just a little while. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Just a little while. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's when I depend on Him, call out to Him, cry out to Him, trust Him. And it's just for a little while, a little while. 28. I came forth from the Father. 27 said, I came out from God. I think I skipped 27. For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Not only that, I came forth from God. And this is red letters, this is the Lord. And am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto Him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speaketh no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things. Do you know it this morning? Do you know that Jesus knows all things? Do you know that God knows all things? Are you sure about it? Are you positive? And needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them and said, Do ye now believe? Well, He done told us over and over and over again. Let's look at it in Matthew 12. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He knows what I'm thinking. Now again, that could be a comfort. Could be a real comfort. It could be real scary. Again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That was our memory verse at one time. Jesus knew their thoughts. I'm talking about someone that knows everything. God is omniscient, all knowledge. He knows everything. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. He knows everything. He knows what I'm thinking. He doesn't just know that I'm here. He didn't just mark me down absent or present. He knows why I'm here. He knows if I wanted you to see my new patriotic tie. He knows if I wanted to see your new shoes or whatever. He knows why I'm here. He knows why. He doesn't just know I'm here. Chapter 22, Matthew 22. He knows when the turtles laid the eggs, when it started out, when the dinosaurs were here. He knows all of it. 22:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm sorry. 22:18, not 18. 22:18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness. Oh boy. It's in my heart. It's in my mind. And said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? See, he knows everything. He knows that in verse 15, they were going to try to entangle him in his talk. He knew it was wicked and evil. He knows what I'm thinking before I think it. He knows how bad we are. Mark 2. Talking about omniscience now. Talking about red letters. The Lord. Mark 2:8. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Oh, what if he said that to me this morning? What if my heart was up here instead of this verse? What if my heart and mind was up here? What would we be seeing this morning? Talking about the one that knows everything. The one that knows everything. Luke 6:8. He could say, peace be still. And the winds and the seas would obey. Luke 6:8. But he knew their thoughts. And said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And he healed him. He healed him. Chapter 11. Luke 11. He's big. He's God. He knows everything. Luke 11:17. He's got all the power there is. And he's everywhere. He was here before we got here. He'll be here when we leave. But he, knowing their thoughts. How you doing? I'm doing that great myself. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. He done told us in John 2. He's telling us again. We're slow learners. I'm a slow learner. Got to have it over and over and over again. John 2. 24 and 25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I'm talking about nature. He knew what was in natural man. Before we get delivered, before we get born again, he knew. He knew. John 21. Omniscience. We're talking about omniscience. John 21:17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. He figured it out, didn't he? Thou knowest that I love thee. Peter said to him, feed my sheep. And then Acts 1:24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. We're talking about omniscience. The Lord knows everything. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's God. He's God. John 16:32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. There's no hiding place. We can't hide. There's no place to hide from God. The Son of God is not forsaken. He said, the Father's going to be with me. He turns His back on Him for 3 hours while He was on the cross because He became sin for us. But other than that, He walked up Calvary's hill with Him. Sister Trista sings it, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that He might save us from endless loss. Philippians 2, starting verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. One and the same. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I knew He was a good man, a prophet, priest, king. I knew He did miracles. I knew He walked on the water, made blind eyes see, crippled legs walk. I didn't know He was God. Jesus is Jehovah, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took on the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God became man. We got the Creator dying for the created. Never heard tell of before. Never happened before. It's not going to happen again. Hard to comprehend what all happened in His hour. There was a business transaction went forth. He took my sin. I took His righteousness. It was a trade. God worked it out. No worry, the Father's still going to be here. No worry, baby be fine. Though some sleep, though Judas and the mob bring the army, though Pilate and Herod do their deeds, their evil deeds, though Peter curses and leaves, though he's bruised and beaten, the Father is still with him. The Father's still going to be there. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Romans 5:1. You can probably quote it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place to get it. This world doesn't have any peace. Jesus only. The Bible only. God only. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why, because He, the Holy Spirit, we started off in verse 14, where He moved in, the Comforter moved in. That's why you have peace. That's why you don't worry. That's why you can sleep at night. That's why you don't need tranquilizers. That's why, because of He, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall partition between us, so that Jew and Greek both made the church out of whosoever will. whosoever will. One church, one faith, one Bible, one baptism. Peace is found in Christ, nowhere else. Not in being good, not in reformation, not in turning over a new leaf. The world only has trouble. He and only He, Jesus, gives us peace. C.T. Studd, famous preacher, got on a ship to go to China. And the captain of the ship had studied the Bible for the sole purpose of arguing. You might know someone like that. I knew a man like that. And he lit into C.T. Studd and started complaining and blaming and telling him a bunch of problems. And the preacher put his arm around him and said, "But friend, I have peace that passes all understanding." He said, "You're a lucky dog." Before they got to China, the captain got saved. Just watching the peace that the preacher had. The Roman farmers had a cart. Maybe you've seen pictures of them sometime. The wheel, it was one wheel, a roller like mom's rolling pin was on the cart. It wasn't two wheels. And the name of it was called a tribulum. And it's the root word for tribulation. And many times we're getting things pressed out of us that we don't need. We're having an experience in tribulation. A tribulum's running over us. That's what's happening. We've got a couple more minutes here. Let's look at John 17. It's the Lord's Prayer. And the first five verses he prays for himself. And what I learned here is it's not a sin to pray for yourself.
Right.
He's praying for himself. He needs some help. I need help. I need a lot of help. This is the longest prayer recorded. A remarkable prayer, intercessory prayer. And not only did no man spake like he spake, but no man prayed like he prayed. It's honest, simple, it's deep, it's rich and wide, it's high and deep and wide. If you forgot to pray this morning or you left the house, he didn't. He did. It's okay to pray for yourself. See, I need to get in tune. I need to get right before I start.
Right.
I need to get Rick took care of first before I can pray for anybody else. Starting in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour's come." This is what I meant to say a while ago. I think this is the seventh time we have this phrase where it's His hour. His hour has come. He said, "Glorify the Son, that thy Son also may be glorified, may glorify thee." It's done in the center of the earth. If you look at it on a flat map, Israel's in the center of the world. This wasn't done in a corner. The crucifixion wasn't. The death wasn't. The burial wasn't. The resurrection wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't hid. There was a lot of people. There was a multitude in Jerusalem at the time. And the whole known world saw God die and get buried and rise again. The whole world watched it. Oneness with the Father and us. And us. Hey, He includes us in there. He's including us. He's our Father also. I hope He's your Father. He's our Father also. Verse 11, He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father." Holy Father. Keep keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
Right.
Hey, he's praying for us. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee. And these that come to Sunday school on Sunday morning, stay for preaching, come back Sunday night, come Wednesday night, these have known that thou hast sent me. He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. He's not just praying for himself. This is his greatest hour. It's a perfect hour. He's coming up on a perfect sacrifice. That's going to be God's blood that runs down the cross.
Right.
It's going to be man's worst day and man's best day, all rolled into one. If it wasn't for this day, we wouldn't get in. When he says our Father, it's for all of us. He never prays, forgive our sins, because he didn't have any.
Right.
He didn't have any. Let's look at it in Matthew 6:9. He's the only one that didn't have any. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's going to be about it for today, I think. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.